This is Lori Koppelman. Thank you for joining us for the Clutter Chronicles podcast, One Woman's Journey Through Stuff. This is a serial podcast about a recovering hoarder named Mary who lets me ask her anything I want about her struggle. She is honest and brave every single conversation. Mary is sharing her story in the hope that it will help others, so please help us get the word out. As we all know, nothing beats a personal recommendation. You can also support our efforts by becoming a patron of the show on a website called patreon.com. Once there, search for Clutter Chronicles, and you can see the levels of support you can choose from. Here's a huge thank you to all of our patrons. Last time, Mary was peeling away more and more shame and raising expectations for what her home can be. In today's conversation, Mary has discovered the core of her hoarding, and it's the family's paper memorabilia.
Sibilance. That's what my husband always says. That's what they say in the microphone when they're testing.
Oh, yeah.
Sibilance.
Oh, I've never heard that.
Now that I've said it, you'll hear it.
Okay.
I think, I can't think of his name. When the comedian does it, I can't think of his name. Adam Sandler? No. Might be Adam Sandler. I can't remember.
Well, here we are. Mary, hello.
Hello.
It's Lori. And we're back in my studio, and it's been over 2 months since we've met. We were groaning and moaning about spring not coming, and here we are, and it's summer. Yeah. We live for summer in Minnesota. So,
all 2 days of it.
Hurry up. Love it. And when we ended our very last conversation, you were getting so eager to get back into your garage, and I said, what can we check in on next time? How many truckloads is the question I asked you. How many truckloads do you think you can get rid of between now and then? Between then and now. And you were so eager to get with the pickup, and that's where I want to start, and we will go on the tangents that we like to go on as they come up, but that's where I want to see.
Okay.
Do you have a number for us, or can you just bring us up to date in that regard? I know there's other things that have been going on too.
Yeah. I think my goal, did you just say my goal was 5?
That's a number you threw out there as a guess.
I probably have done 3 or 4. I can't remember. And I was trying to keep track, but, the momentum was just going. And I think that...
In the right direction.
In the right direction.
Uh-huh.
But it's hard to keep track because there's been many times where I've had to empty the truck before I delivered it. So...
Right.
Because my husband will need the truck and then I have to... I'm not prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
If I could have had a heads up, I might have delivered it beforehand. Or I was preparing it for a specific day and it just didn't jive.
He's a cheeky monkey with that truck.
Just drives me insane.
I know that's come up before.
Oh my gosh. And I honestly don't think he's doing it on purpose, but it is kind of what I would mark as the resistance. And I don't know if I've ever told you that I've named it as the resistance. And I think I've talked about how the resistance is futile. But there's different ways to use it. So there's my resistance, where I don't want to do something, but then there's a resistance where I'm making progress and whatever it is that likes me in this hell doesn't like that. Doesn't want to see me escape from the dungeon or the dragon or whatever it is. And so when that happens, I'm telling you, for the longest time it would be a knockdown drag out fight. I would just fall apart. And now that I'm recognizing it's the resistance, I just accept it. And I just say, okay, fine. If this is what it takes for me to get it done, to remove it from the truck and then put it back, it looks backwards, but fine, I'll play this game.
Boy, that is a blessed letting go. That's how I see that. Frustrating, and yet you're onto it.
And as soon as you're onto it, it really, it kind of gives you some peace about it. Mm-hmm. And you can go, okay, I get it. And I have a lot of those games I play with myself, and I've decided if that's what it takes for me to get rid of it, fine. Mm. You know, if I have to play with it for a while, fine. Mm-hmm. But the ultimate is it's going. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think I may have talked about that. I've done that with my mother's linens, where I had them all over the house. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about that just yesterday, because I have things that are not even close to near and dear to me that I'm having a hard time letting go of. And I'm like, but you got rid of your mom's linens, Mary. Mm. Doesn't that mean anything? You know?
Doesn't that make this easier? Yeah.
And, you know, this is terrible, but if there was something pressing, like you could only grab three things before you ran out the door and it was going to blow up, what would be those things? And I would have the clarity of mind of what's important. But in laziness or resistance or whatever you want to call it, there's a tendency to put everything back to the same level of importance. Mm. And that's what I'm still fighting, because when I am eager and ambitious and motivated, I can see clearly. Mm-hmm. But most of my life is really muddy.
A lot of our lives are, right? We were just talking before we started about a barrier that I did not get through. I got some new audio equipment and meant the best intentions of getting that tested and ready to set up for this conversation, and I didn't. And you were so happy to see a barrier of mine. And I said, if this podcast were about me instead of you, we'd have plenty to talk about. So you are not alone in those, for sure. So let's not quibble about how many truckloads, because that's really just kind of a starting point question. Mm-hmm. What did you, because three, if it is three, is a lot. That's a lot of stuff. How did that go, and where did that go, and how does it feel? And just give us the down low on that.
Well, I know it probably doesn't count, but I've been, I've taken at least two to the recycle center.
Why wouldn't that count?
Well, because some of that's still flowing in, so it's new that's added to the old. So I have this thing where if I receive new stuff, like, let's say, a big, huge piece of styrofoam, it drives me insane enough to make me do the load to the recycle center, even though I had this stuff all along I could do. And so I've been kind of utilizing that. Mm. And
so incoming from somewhere was the styrofoam.
Yeah, I rescue styrofoam if I see it on, you know, streets that I can pull over. That's a true confession. So I hate styrofoam. I hate it with a passion. And if I see a big chunk of styrofoam and I know a place that recycles it, I'll take it. There's been many times where I'm taking my dog for a walk and I see the styrofoam sitting out for the trash and I just have to look the other way. Mm. But I do what I can when I can, and then I have to let it go when I can.
Okay, so you rescued some styrofoam. Right. So that's why you're saying it might not count, because some of it was
unnecessary. When you keep adding to your junk to get rid of, then what point are you really successful? But what happened is there were a couple hurdles there where I had things that stop me are these special things that need to get somewhere, like medicine has to go to the sheriff's, you know, which I have a lot of because of my dad and stuff I've given rid of, and that also can take vitamins, and so it's only a little bag, but I just resist it. I hate doing it, and I don't even think they're 2 miles from my house. It's just stupid. And I get these grandiose ideas like, oh, I have all these paper bags and I don't need them. I can bring them to the food shelf. And whenever I go by, they're not open or whatever. So little things like that were in my car. But what happens is then there's just this movement of I can't stand it anymore. And then I'll take a day and deliver all this stuff. So I had a couple days like that. And I was able to bring some recycling that there's some new movement where they'll take textile recycling, but there's a what am I trying to say? A disagreement. So one group took a whole bunch of weird stuff, and then the second group, which was supposed to take the same stuff, wouldn't take it. And the reason I bring it up is I felt like I still triumphed because I brought a carload of weird stuff, and what I mean is like old pillows, dog bed, just fabric, mm-hmm. random things, and they wouldn't take it. Mm-hmm. And instead of waiting until I could get to the right group, I tossed it. Mm-hmm. I just had to. So I filled a whole trash can with this stuff, and I had to show my husband. I'm like, do you see that? It came from my car to the trash, and I did it. I just mm-hmm. did it. Mm-hmm. And I've had enough. You know, I do what I can, but this is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. How'd that feel?
You know, I'm starting to... It's interesting, but I think what I'm missing is the rhythm of things. Like, you get something, you use it, and then there's a life cycle. Because everything I got. I just kept. There is no life cycle that followed through with me. And I recently went to a brunch with a friend who was leaving, who's actually my old trainer. She's a wonderful woman, and she's moving out of the state. And on the way to see her, I was thinking of funny things that had happened when I used to work out with her. And one time I had forgotten my tennis shoes, and we worked out outside. And for some strange reason, I had these horrible, horrible shoes. Sorry, Skechers, but those ones that kind of were rolled on the bottom. Mm. Do you know what I'm talking about? They're supposed to help you. I don't know what they're supposed to do. Well, they're horrible shoes. And I pulled them out. I'm like, well, at least they're tennis shoes. And she laughed so hard. She goes, you get those things off your feet. You know, you can't wear those. So I was reminiscing about that. I was laughing about what a dork I was. And I was realizing that she'd probably ask me if I still had them. And I did get rid of them last year. And I was thinking, I used to not really catch what people meant with, you still have that. And what they mean is there's a rhythm. You have something, you use it, and then you get rid of it. Mm. And I've never used those three steps. I just have it. Mm. I might not even use it, but I certainly don't get rid of it. And what was funny is that was one of the memories she brought up that day. Huh. And I'm like, oh, this, if that isn't, you know, God winking at me saying I'm listening. It was awesome to have her bring that up and laugh about it. Mm. So, but it felt really good to say, no, I got rid of them. Mm-hmm. Now it was only last year, but I accomplished that. So, I'm tapping into these rhythms. So back to the garage clear out. We had a opportunity to bring, big stuff to like a community collection. And the reason why I wanted to tap into that is we've gone to places where you bring stuff to the dump, and then we ended up repairing three tires with the damage they have from the nails that are in the dump. Mm. And I'm like, well, that's not helpful. And those are truck tires to boot, so those are really expensive.
Oh, wow.
And so when I saw that they were collecting this stuff and it was going to be close by, I'm like, this is our chance. So, without going into details, we kind of had me and my husband kind of had a big, big fight. This was right before our anniversary, 7 year itch. And what was interesting about it is how determined I was to get rid of it. And in the past, I think that would have been an excuse to not go, but I could not wait to get rid of this stuff. And so anything that remotely looked like something that had to be thrown out, like old pieces of wood lying around or metal or whatever. And I went in the back of our garage, which isn't attached to our house, so we'd never even go back there. And I just picked up anything that randomly looked like crap and threw it in the truck. And so I did the delivery myself. And my friend said, hey, could you come by my store? There's a dresser here. It's a really cute dresser, but it had water damage. Can you dump this off for me? I'm like, didn't even blink. Sure. So I grab that for her, and anything else you want me to bring? So I bring this huge truckload. And while I'm in line, someone knocks on my door, and I roll down the window, and he's like, are you getting rid of that dresser? It's the exact color, and I mean, exact size I need. And so he hauled that out of my truck while we were in line. But, which was awesome.
Yeah.
I certainly want to keep things out of the landfill, but I'm coming to the point of recognizing that I can't change this world. Mm-hmm. And this is what we have. We have this problem with stuff, and holding on to it isn't helping it. Mm-hmm. And I have to be obedient to the fact that things will end up in a landfill. Mm-hmm. And so it was, I don't know, invigorating mm-hmm. to get rid of the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Junk.
Mm. Yay.
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 So I would say my need to feel responsible for stuff has lessened more and more,
mm-hmm.
which gives me freedom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Yes. You've been carrying such a heavy load.
Yes. Excuse the fun.
Yeah, I thought of that as I was saying that. But you really have
mm-hmm.
on what you feel like you owe Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad you're seeing that that's so unrealistic. It's mm-hmm. in some ways really applaudable, and in some ways I can see the insanity of it.
Right.
And I'm glad you're finding, it sounds like you're finding a balance with, you can still pick up the styrofoam when you can, and you can still do a lot, and right. it doesn't have to impede your life.
Right.
The way it's been, by not being able to get rid of it.
It's a fine line between doing something noble and doing something that's killing yourself.
Yeah. Oh. So good. So you got some stuff out of the garage,
right.
and you'd already done a lot, it had right. sounded like, in your garage.
Right.
So yay. Mm-hmm. So some to the recycling, some to this community center. Did you get rid of any clothes? I know that was vintage clothes.
I did. I haven't gotten rid of the good vintage clothes yet. I haven't been successful finding the people that I thought would want them, so I might have to actually give them away. Mm. Like, really give them away.
Mm-hmm.
And that just scares the heck out of me.
Okay, well.
But I have to do it. There's this thing of getting it to people who appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Even if I could give it to these people, if they didn't want to buy it, I'd give it to them.
Right. Oh, no, I get it.
It's the fact that it's going to go through the system and not get to the right people. It might.
You just don't get to see it.
But I don't know. Right. And that's my letting go of control. And so what's interesting is, I started a 12-week course with this guy people may have heard of, Joshua Becker. His blog is called Becoming Minimalist.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a course that's going on right as we speak. I think we're in week six. No. Seven? Six or seven. Six, I think. Of a 12-week course. And
I know you had signed
yes.
up for that. I've been really
yes.
anxious to hear.
And what's interesting is there's a Facebook group that's with this.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are posting pictures and supporting each other and then, you know, helping each other out. And there are so many people whose lives are just like mine that are on there. Someone who was saying that I can't remember if she said she did get evicted or almost got evicted because of how much stuff she had and what a far cry she's been. And her timeline was almost exactly mine.
Mm.
And it was really eerie.
Mm.
And
timeline meaning when she started?
When she started facing up to her
okay.
hoarding and where she is now.
Okay.
I think it was like 2003. I mean, that's totally me. It was really weird. And so I've been gobbling that up. Because it's kind of like, these are my people.
Yeah, community.
But then there's people, you know, the whole point, it's called uncluttered, and the whole point is to get uncluttered, of course. But the real point is to become like a minimalist. I mean, the whole goal And I figure, well, if I shoot for that, maybe I'll get midway. Mm-hmm. And I would love to be a minimalist. I've actually been dreaming about being a minimalist. This is so strange. And I have found what he's teaching us very beneficial. This has been a great experience. My dilemma is the space constraints that I have on what I can do, because everything basically flows through the kitchen. That's where I do my work, because there's no other place in the house that I can get things done. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like everyone ends up in the kitchen at a party. I mean, that is where everything is. It's where your food is. It's where the dog kennels are. It's where they go in and out the door. It's, you know, it's just where I congregate myself. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to keep track of timeline, but at one point I decided to fight this resistance. And what the resistance is, I want to get at the stuff, but I can't get at it because it's downstairs and I'm upstairs. And I don't use the basement at all. So to not go down there for 2 months is not hard. You know, I go down there to do the laundry and that's it. So at one point my husband went out of town and I was like, I have to embrace this need to be in the kitchen because I'm fighting it. And I am never going to get through this house if I can't embrace it. And so I looked at our cupboards and we really want to remodel. So I haven't really done anything too damaging. But we have one of those twirly things, those Lazy Susan cupboards, which we hate because it has enough crack where the dust gets in. And so anything you put in there just gets dirty. Food we forget about. It's in a bad spot. And I'm like, I wonder if I could ever take this out. And I dismantled it, took out the shelves, and I stuck a filing cabinet in there. And like, this is going to be my pseudo office for now, because what I really need is an office, and I can't have one yet. Mm-hmm. So, it's changed everything. Because you need kind of like a ground zero. You need a base so you can know where you're going. And just the being inundated with junk mail and stuff, and then that just piles up. This way I am sorting through it while it's coming in. I know exactly what to do with it. I know how to get rid of it. And it's not even going past the kitchen. Mm-hmm. It's like the buck stops here. Mm-hmm. So
that's a big accomplishment.
It is.
Paper is a big deal for a lot of people, and you've said that yourself.
And if, let's just say we were able to, I don't know why I say we, me and my dogs and I, were able to get rid of paper, because it's not my husband, he doesn't have the problem. The house would be half empty. I mean, that's how much it consumes me. I have my memories, and then I have my parents' stuff that came in boxes when I helped my dad sell his house. We got relatives from other generations' stuff, and it's all like letters and mementos and obituary notices. And I mean, come on, what am I supposed to do with all this stuff? It's awful.
That is not a fair burden on you to have the entire family's paper collection.
Well, and to have a family that has not tossed out things for years and years and years, and it just ended up, it's kind of like I have to think outside the family box. Like, this, what does the family do, and then what do I have to do to combat it? And it on one hand, it's very fun to go through it, but my gosh, how am I ever going to get through this? I mean, if you just said, Mary, I need you to touch each piece of paper by the end of the year, I don't think I could accomplish it. That's not reading it. That's not sorting it.
And then you've got the incoming that we all struggle with. Yeah, I can see why you could never get to it.
Right. So at least I'm getting a rhythm. And it's
for
like
the incoming.
Right.
New
so
stuff.
I can go, this stuff is nothing compared to my mom's little notes between her sisters. This can go. This is crap. it's like I've never been able to set him apart, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And to add to it, my dad, you know, he gets all this stuff. And then he writes little notes on his stuff, and I'm like, well, I wonder what that note means. I mean, come on, Mary. You just... So I'm trying to create a rhythm of this is how you deal with it. And I recognized that I can't just set a day and go through papers, because that day would be at least 365 days. So I have come up with a plan to work on it maybe 1 hour a day, if that. Maybe 1 hour every other day.
Mm-hmm.
But just in little chunks.
Mm-hmm.
And not have it consume the whole day. I can't be sitting in front of a pile of papers every day. I'll go insane.
Yeah, that sounds like torture.
Right.
Can you share some of this with your siblings?
I could. I don't know how, because none of this is organized. It's not like these are all letters or these are all whatevers. They're all together. There's tax records mixed with this. And I originally thought what I would do is go through it and take all the stuff that needs to be shredded and put it in a pile and then bring it to a shredder. But I realized that I'm working at such a snail's pace that I can actually shred them as I go. Mm-hmm. And then I don't have these piles looming, because the whole point is to get rid of piles.
Right.
And that's the other thing that stops me is... If everything I'm doing is just moving the pile from this pile to that pile, and then that pile's waiting for it to be going, what am I accomplishing? Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I've set it up where I can easily just shred things as I go. Mm-hmm. And I'm training myself to think, what else can you shred? And there's been things where I've been on the fence and I shred it before I get
Don't think, shred.
Gone.
Decision made.
Sorry.
Oops.
Gone.
Can't do that.
Right.
Can't undo that.
Right.
No, undo.
See me trying to piece the little... It's crisscross, so I'd never get it together. So, there's been some great battles.
Oh, I just feel... all that paper from all these generations and such a responsibility on your shoulders to what? Revere it?
Right.
Shrine it? Right. Make a shrine?
I don't know.
People!
I know. I don't know what to do with it. And what's interesting, I've done the same thing, so I can't even get mad at them. And so this is what I've decided. All right, fine. I have these papers. Maybe I'm supposed to write this great book. I don't know. I don't know what it's supposed to be for. But this opening up a box, looking at it, and feeling defeated isn't going anywhere. So what I've decided to do is categorize everything by era. And like, these are the 90s, these are the 2000s, these are whatever. And then I can kind of get like a bird's eye view of what this pattern is. Why did we keep all this stuff? What is the story behind this? Is it just the story of us? Or what is it? And I really think that's the beginning of me battling this resistance. And there'll be one day when I'm going to go, who the hell cares? And I'll chuck it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm finding pictures. Of course, people send pictures in envelopes, and those are tucked in there. I'm finding gems. But I think if I can just categorize them in groupings, then I can chuck them.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds ridiculous to sort before you toss. But I cannot live with myself to just take the box and chuck it. I wish I could. People on the Uncluttered Facebook page have been doing that, and it's impressive. I'm not there.
I don't know if you go to our Facebook page. You probably don't.
I'm gonna have to.
But I made a post. I posted about a shirt that I had in my closet, and I was a bad buy, and I keep trying to wear it, and not wearing it mostly, but trying to wear it, and then I have a daughter who likes my clothes, and I thought, perfect, I'll see if she wants it. Won't that be the right solution here, because I don't have to waste it?
Right.
We have these
right
crazy things that we gymnastics we go through.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave it to her and she absolutely loves it. Mm. And whee! Yay!
Right.
I'm not a failure.
Right. You redeemed it.
I redeemed the shirt. I redeemed the purchase because she loves the purchase.
Right.
And someone made a remark on the Facebook page about the angst that we have. And I wish I could remember now. I'll have to go back to it. But it's an economics principle.
Mm.
And she referenced.
I think I know what you're talking about.
And that the pain that we are worried about might not last very long. But we have to be willing to go through that pain to even see that it wasn't worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought of that. I'm not sure if I'm applying it correctly to this. But you anticipate that pain would be really bad.
Right.
And maybe it wouldn't.
Right.
But we don't even try because we're worried about that pain.
We haven't even given ourselves a chance to.
Right. So what if she wouldn't have wanted it? Mm-hmm. I don't know what I would have done.
Mm-hmm.
But anticipating the pain of that kept me from doing that until she was here and I could just give it to her.
Mm-hmm.
But apply that to anything in our lives. A box of unopened heirlooms. Because I remember asking you, I don't know when, months ago, could you ever just get rid of the boxes? You know, you haven't opened them for years.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, oh, God. Like, you really physically reacted to that. And this is like another version of that.
Right.
When it's not your stuff. But that pain of not knowing what we've just gotten rid of. It would be a fun experiment for someone else to do, right?
Right.
But you're seeing that other people are doing that. And are they regretting it?
No, I think they're feeling free. And that's what's interesting to see these people, is that they're feeling so free and so like they've conquered something. And that's what we're all after.
Mm-hmm. How many boxes of that stuff would you say you have? Can you even?
So think of those banker boxes, you know, with the little lids. I'm trying to think. 25? And maybe I'm underestimating.
Mm-hmm.
And it's defeating. And I think what I did in the past was think, well, I'll get to it. Or this will be interesting. And I'll just set it right here. And so I put everything like that down in the living room, which is also where everything else is. So when you walked in there, you couldn't really go anywhere. And I didn't want to commit to storing it properly because I really had this feeling I could get rid of it. So there's piles, like makeshift piles of where I've tried to sort and then I got interrupted and I set it over here.
Mm-hmm.
All those kind of things drive me insane, these unfinished thoughts. And so hubby went out of town again, and I was all excited because I'm like, okay, I got freedom. I don't need to do the dishes if I don't wanna. And I went downstairs and I pulled anything that remotely looked like paper and brought it upstairs. And then I looked downstairs and I couldn't believe it was a whole different room. And I thought, this is the resistance. This is the thing that's holding me back. And I just won't bring them back downstairs. So upstairs is a disaster right now. But I think I need it in my face to recognize what it is and deal with it properly.
I hope, I was going to say I have a feeling, I don't know if I'm right, but I hope that you do this and you see that maybe most of it isn't great.
Right.
And maybe it's not worth going through every of the 25 boxes for the one or the two pictures that show up.
Right.
Because that is a high cost to you gain.
Right.
But you have to get to the point where you feel okay with that.
Right.
And I don't know what your relationship is with your siblings, but if you're able to say to them, if I've got it, I'm deciding what's happening to it. And if you have any interest in maintaining something that I may not, then you come and get these boxes because I'm going to decide the way I want to decide it. no guilt allowed on me. No, mm-hmm. oh, did you, you got rid of, nope. Mm-hmm. You either help or you get no say.
Well, it's interesting because I'm just as guilty because I am very intrigued by, I mean, like my mom's sisters wrote to each other all the time. These are like tapping into email and text, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very interested to see what was going on. I'm interested to see what they talk about. But on the other hand, I think maybe I'll notice a pattern in what I'm reading, and then I can say this all can go.
That, to me, sounds precious. Tax returns, mm-hmm. obituaries.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I can't imagine of the 25 right. boxes, it's a majority of that.
And that's what
stuff.
I'm praying for. I'm praying that this taxes. I'm praying it's just crap, like old, any kind of financial whatever.
Because paper clippings.
Yeah, right. That I think I'm going to start receipts. To go through pretty, mm-hmm. receipts for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a taste of my momentum while he was gone because I set up a makeshift table in the living room and I just was going, gone. And I would shred it as I thought it. And I thought, this is the key because then it cinches the deal. There's no, oh, I'm going to set this here while I get distracted. It's shredded and done.
Love it.
Yeah.
That is a great mm-hmm. strategy. Was that from the class? Or
no, I made that up. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll be in the class.
Mm-hmm.
But I need it to be final. Mm-hmm. Is that your final answer?
mm-hmm.
Because I will change my mind and I will get distracted. And it's kind of funny because there's a couple boxes where I open them up. I'm like, obviously all this stuff was to be recycled, but it got recirculated. So that was freeing. I'm like, oh, good, I can dump this, you know. And so I was making some progress, but then since he was coming home, I had to kind of tidy it up, which it's like, it looks like the whole kitchen is caving in.
Mm-hmm.
And miraculously, I got the area where we actually cook cleaned enough where he could use it. And I think he has seen how much has gone through that kitchen door to mm-hmm. the trash or wherever. So he's just holding back.
Mm-hmm.
Poor guy.
He's on board.
I know. It's awful.
Mm. Well, you have a burden that's been placed on you by the family, and I'm feeling a little, I don't know, feisty right now because I don't know if you read the, no, I know you don't have time. Reading books is not on the top of your
right.
list right now, but there was one I also posted in the Facebook group about this gentle art of Swedish death cleaning.
Mm.
It's the name of a book an older woman has written about her generation to say, people, do it. Don't put this on your kids. It's
right.
just not
right.
fair.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very gentle and very sweet and has great suggestions. I recommend it highly mm. to anyone who may be in that stage and who may be listening. Our own inability to deal with the guilt
right.
is just, it's just not fair
right.
to put on someone else. Well, I can't deal with it. So I guess I'll just, my kids are just going to have to deal with it. And I'm not talking to you, Mom. I have to say that.
Right.
In particular,
mm-hmm.
anyone's parents,
right.
this applies to. It applies to us right now. You and I are in our 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have kids. I have kids. But you can't just, I mean, if you wait till you're 80 to do it, then it
right.
then it is really scary and hard
right.
and a lot of work.
Right.
Especially if you haven't moved.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't moved much. So I'm just taking this opportunity to just feel for you what your generations have put on you, whether they meant to or not, and whether it was intentional, all that. I'm not trying to shame anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But think about that. All of us have to think about that, what we're leaving
well,
for others to deal with.
What's interesting about that is this is like the core of my hoarding. This is the hot spot.
Right, the stickiest.
Yeah, and so out of that is what came everything else. And it's this nostalgia, it's this inability to make a decision, it's holding on to things, it's maybe later, I don't have time now. And what's interesting about it is all those answers are pointing to get rid of. But the knee-jerk reaction is to hold on because I don't have time mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. We don't have time in general. Because I was looking at it and thinking, all the books that I want to read on top of these? Impossible. It's like the equivalent of looking at my clothes and saying, if I wore every piece of clothes, a new piece every day, I still wouldn't exhaust like a third of my clothing. So it's phenomenal how we have this ability to kind of get into this, timelessness that we think we're in, mm-hmm. I guess.
And someday.
Right. The someday. And that's interesting because now I know my mom used her silver for good occasions, so that's good. But what do I do with all her silver now? And no one wants it. It's not big anymore. And I'm talking about teapots and stuff. And it's kind of like the time that was ripe for it has passed. And during that time that was ripe, they held on to it. So it never got its glory.
Right.
And it's kind of like, if you can even step back even further, this is like a cultural illness that we have. And I was thinking about a comment that I heard Joshua say on one of his podcasts. He was interviewing someone. Of course, I don't remember any other details other than this, but there was some article that said, this just in, we have enough chairs. Hmm. And it was such a funny thought, because everyone can buy new chairs if they want, because there's a million of them being produced as we speak, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the world has enough chairs. But we gotta go buy a new chair. So there's something that's constantly driving us, or even the clothing industry, you know, these are the colors for this year. Mm-hmm. So how do we resist all that too? It's coming at us from all angles. And then there's the guilt if you bought the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And he also had we will get back. What I should do is research who these people are that I'm mentioning, and then we can put them in the notes, because it's probably driving people nuts. I can't remember the guy, but he was talking about, he wrote a book about too many decisions, that we have too many choices, like cheese. You go into the grocery store and you can't decide which cheese to get. And he said what that does is, you would think it would make you more free, because you get to make all these choices. But what really happens is, then when you've gotten home, you don't know if you made the right choice. Mm. It's too much.
Mm-hmm. And I got shredded.
Right.
I've gotten sliced. Right.
Exactly. So there's always this level of discontent.
Mm. Never agitation.
Not feeling satisfied, mm-hmm. because there's always a chance that you bought the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm. And, oh my.
Yeah.
What would we do if we made the wrong decision?
Right.
So what?
Right. Well, and I was thinking of this. There's people who have had people come and furnish their house. Like, they pick what their house is going to look like. They get the furniture or whatever. And I used to think that would be like the equivalent of a arranged marriage for me. And I've actually been looking at that going, wouldn't that be awesome? Mm. Wouldn't that be freeing? And what it would almost make you do is get outside of your comfort zone, because these aren't the colors you would have chosen. Mm-hmm. Yet, I mean, of course, a person would have to have good taste, but it wouldn't necessarily be your taste. And we just, it's so interesting.
Stuff.
What stuff does to us.
Yep.
And how we have wrapped our worlds around it.
And on that note, I'm going to have a stop for now. Maybe okay. there's more we'll talk about because we haven't chatted for a while. But you're absolutely right. We are wrapped. Stuff has us wrapped around its little finger.
Mm-hmm.
Big time.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Mary.
Thank you.
And that ends today's Chronicle. This conversation reminded me a bit of weeding in the garden. Sometimes we can only pull out part of a root, and it's so frustrating because we know we've only solved the problem on a short-term basis. It is so satisfying to pull out one of those gnarly, deep roots and see the whole thing come out. To me, Mary got to the deep, gnarly root of her hoarding in these last weeks, and I can see enormous progress. For instance, with her shredding tactic, making decisions she has to live with because they are final. And she's surviving. Big stuff. We've mentioned several resources during this conversation, and I will add them to the show notes, so look for those there. If you'd like to connect with us in between episodes, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at ClutterCron. Thanks to my brother Michael for sharing his gorgeous music on our show. I'm Lori Koppelman. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned to find out what happens next on Clutter Chronicles.